This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. Today, we have a two-part look at grain markets with FarmLink Marketing Solutions Chief Analyst Neil Townsend. He looks at the wheat, canola, and pulse crop markets. Real Agriculture talks about seeding rates as farmers prepare for spring seeding. Alberta's Premier defends his handling of the coronavirus outbreak at meatpacking plants last year. And the province of Saskatchewan highlights biodiversity in range management. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazenk Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk, 306-721-6667. A grain market analyst says wheat prices could move higher over the next few months. The chief market analyst at FarmLink Marketing Solutions, Neil Townsend, says strong demand from Southeast Asia and concern about dryness in North America are pushing up wheat markets.
The start to any story about the market is, you know, what's happening with U.S. corn and soybeans. And on Wednesday of last week, we got a report from the USDA, which had much smaller acreage numbers than expected for U.S. corn and U.S. soybeans. And that's put a very bullish hue to the market. Now, we have to sort that out over time, but it just makes the critical gaze of the world on what's going to happen with U.S. corn and soybean. Like, the yield has to perform at trend plus or all-time records to ensure that we have, you know, some semblance of security with the carryouts, because the carryouts right now project very tight. Now, and that supports, obviously, soybeans and canola, so, you know, interlocked, that supports that market. But corn supports everything. So if corn needs to go up, you know, 60, 75 cents a bushel in the futures, I mean, you can rest assured that, you know, wheat's going to match that, or, you know, almost match that. Wheat is an interesting animal. I mean, it isn't as dynamic or as sexy as the other things, but yet, I mean, it's steady as you go, and we're seeing big volumes of wheat moving around the world. There continues to be countries that are tendering for big amounts of wheat. Algeria just did 500,000 tons of, you know, soft wheat. We see lots of activity and action going on in, you know, Southeast Asia. China continues to buy big amounts of wheat. So, you know, we're optimistic about wheat prices. The second factor on wheat, or support for wheat prices because of demand, the second factor for wheat that we think is, you know, fairly favorable is that it's very dry in critical spring wheat areas of both Canada and the United States. North Dakota in particular has a large area that's moved from, you know, serious drought to severe drought. And again, those are critical counties that are involved in the production of spring wheat. Eastern part of the prairies is also very dry, and there's other dryness concerns in the other parts of the prairies. So we see wheat prices for the remainder of this year being fairly well supported, you know, maybe with the activity that happened in the corn and soybean acreage report last week. We see them probably, you know, 25 to 30 cents higher than the current bids. The price has gone up by that much already. I mean, but yeah, you should be able to sell, you know, in the mid, you know, 750 to 775 for CWRS 113.
What about canola? What's the price outlook there?
We are very strong supporters of canola. You know, there is always a risk when you price something so high that you kill off demand. But canola is very much into that stage where, you know, they need to find demand to kill off. And there's been a lot of presumptions about what the farmer might do in Western Canada. But, you know, we've managed to get the farmer up to 21.8 million acres at FarmLink. Other people would disagree and say that's too high. There's very few people in the industry who project, you know, above 22 million acres. But realistically, for the supply and demand balance to be fully repaired, you need 22 plus million acres plus a near record yield. And again, with the widespread dryness that we have in Western Canada, you'd have to say that, you know, a trend yield would be a good outcome right now. To get a trend plus yield is looks difficult. A lot can change. But yeah, canola prices are well supported in the nearby. I mean, it may be off the highs, but again, your old crop canola that you might have left is worth, you know, north of $17, maybe as high as $18, and maybe possibly you'll do the one in a generation sale, depending on how desperate somebody wants it.
Neil Townsend is the chief market analyst at FarmLink Marketing Solutions, and we'll hear more in just a moment.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
A grain market analyst is optimistic about canola prices this year. The chief market analyst at FarmLink Marketing Solutions, Neil Townsend, is projecting canola acres will reach 21.8 million this year. He says canola prices may be off the peak prices, but should still sell this year in the $17 to $18 a bushel range.
One thing that will dictate the value of that old crop is how does the new crop conditions look. And again, it's dry. We look like we've had an early spring, so people are going to be able to get in and do their field work in a timely manner. It doesn't look like we're going to have a delayed planting sequence. Nobody really knows the weather that's coming, but the weather is going to be a critical watch point. Canola is a mystery. It's a very hard crop to look in a field and decide what the yield's going to be. So there's going to be a lot of yield uncertainty throughout the entire season. And if we do see a storyline about, drought conditions taking on and, you know, fields not looking too green or not too yellow or not too, like, sparse vegetation, you're going to see, both old and new crop canola go up. And particularly, I think new crop canola is underpriced currently. I wouldn't sell a single pound of canola for new crop right now. We are 10% sold, but I wouldn't sell an additional pound of canola right now because it just there's no particular reason there needs to be a $4 or $5 inverse per bushel for that. And tremendous support from the U.S. soybean situation right now for new crop canola. The other thing I'll say is that, you know, we're not done with the coronavirus, and the coronavirus is really having a significant impact on our friends in Brazil right now. Brazil, like Canada, has massive logistical requirements to move the crop from where it's produced to where it needs to be exported. It relies heavily on truck drivers, on port workers, on all sorts of things to get it there. And with the state of the coronavirus in Brazil right now, you know, you'd be right to probably wonder if they can continue to perform efficiently in terms of their exports of soybeans, which could, you know, redirect some attention from Brazil to the U.S. for China demand.
What about lentils? Do you feel comfortable giving an outlook on lentils?
Sure. I mean, lentils, sort of a, you know, generally positive for lentils. We think that the acres are going to be down, but that's been mitigated over the last few weeks as farmers have sort of drifted back towards lentils. But still, stocks remain tight next year. For red lentils, obviously, a critical market will be what's happening with India, even though we don't ship all of our lentils into India. I mean, there we do markets all around the world for red lentils. But the Indian policy is going to be interesting. India seems to have overestimated their pulse production results again, like they did last year. And there seems to be some impetus perhaps to lower the or remove restrictions on the amount of supplies that traders can hold, which would maybe be positive for Canada as well. So we see lentil prices being, you know, quite supported. And then the one cautionary word is lentils and some of the pulse products more so than most of the other ones. If the coronavirus really does fade away, we could see a little impact of, you know, people working through supplies they bought during the coronavirus to try to ensure food security. And that might mitigate sort of the demand a little bit. The other challenge for lentils, and we saw that boat stuck in the Suez Canal last week, is that there's a worldwide shortage of containers, which has really compromised the trade flow for, you know, smaller crops, including pulses. And, you know, Australia in particular is being hit with the lack of available containers. So, you know, that is always a bit of a concern that, you know, there might be demand at the other end for lentils, but just no means by which we can get them there.
Neil Townsend is the chief market analyst at FarmLink Marketing Solutions.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update brought to you by the Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at canolaschool.com.
I have here with me Sherry Stridehorse, who is an agronomy research specialist with Alberta Wheat and Barley Commissions. So we're starting to get into the time of the year we're thinking about seeding. Some people in southern Alberta, southern Saskatchewan, southern Manitoba are starting to get into the field. We're starting to talk about seeding rate. What sorts of things do you want to highlight?
I guess a lot of people probably think seeding rates are a little bit boring, but I want to talk about some of the consequences of using too low of seeding rates and why paying particular attention to keeping your seeding rates up is a really good idea to set your whole growing season up for success.
What are some of the things you have to watch out for?
Well, I think there was actually a survey done about a decade ago, and in commercial fields, seeding rates were about half of what they are recommended. And there's been a lot of new research that's shown that wheat yields are maximizing when you've got the 28 to 33 seeds per square foot. So if some of our grower fields are at about half that, I think there's lots of opportunity for a very simple agronomic practice to improve seeding rates, get big, higher plant stands, and avoid some of the complications with these low seeding rates.
How do we figure out what those seeding rates actually are and what you need for your field?
To start with, there's all little bits of, you know, different pieces of research out there. But really what my recommendation is you want to try and achieve 33 to 35 plants per square foot. If you can get in that range, then you're going to make sure that you get the right amount of tillering and you don't get consequences from using the wrong seeding rate. And some of those consequences are increased tillering. And, you know, in our short growing season, tillering is really not desirable because it can actually stretch out your growing season length. And I think we've had a few harvests from hell where no one wants to extend their growing season. It can actually decrease your yield because you're taking yield away from that main head. You can have maturity differences, which makes the timing of glyphosate or fusarium head blight timings a real challenge. So what we need to do to get that right seeding rate, I'd really encourage people to use the old Alberta Agriculture seeding rate calculator. And I know it can kind of be a bit of a zoo to find that online. But if you do a quick Google search for Alberta seeding rate calculator, it's looking for a couple of key pieces of information. And so that is what is your desired plant population in plants per meter squared. As I mentioned, that's at 33 to 35 plants per meter squared. Your germination rate, your emergence mortality, and your 1,000 kernel weight. So where do you get those pieces of information? The best source is from an accredited lab. So to get your germination rate, you submit your seed sample, select to have a test that will do a germination and give you 1,000 kernel weight. If you want to save a little bit of money and you want to do some counting, you can certainly count out kernels of wheat. I'd recommend counting out 250 seeds twice, weighing each of those, and then 250 times 4 gives you your 1,000 kernel weight. So once you have that germination number from an accredited lab, 1,000 kernel weight that you get from the lab or that you count out yourself, you can really easily use that Alberta seeding rate calculator. And when you punch in your desired plant density of that 33 to 35 plants per square foot, punch in your germination rate, emergence mortality is a value that they ask for in the seeding rate calculator. And it gives you the advice to put a number in between the range of 0 to 50. And of course, 0 means that every single seed you plant will make a plant in the field. And 50 means only half of the plant or the seeds that you plant will make an established established plant. Now, this is a number that really growers have to eventually establish for themselves over time. But I found, at least in my part of the province, 10% emergence mortality is realistic. So meaning if I plant 100 seeds, 90 of those would come up and make a plant. So I use a 10% emergence mortality. And growers can adjust this based on their own situations. And then the 1,000 kernel weight that they counted out or got from the lab.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri-weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina. Specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan, call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And the Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today we're looking at sunny sky, wind northwest 30, gusting to 50. The high today, and we're just 1 degree off, is forecast at 11 degrees. The low, minus 3. Tuesday, sunny. The high 15 tomorrow, the low minus 2. Wednesday, sunny and even warmer. The high 17, the low plus 1. Thursday, cloudy. The high 10, the low minus 6. Friday, sunny. The high 7, the low minus 2. Saturday, partly cloudy. The high 11, the low minus 5. Sunday, partly cloudy and the high plus 6. Normal high for this date is 9 degrees. The normal low minus 4. The sun rose at 6:26 this morning. It sets at 7:36 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot right now is Weyburn at 11 degrees. The cold spot up north, Stony Rapids at minus 2. Estevan, Saskatoon 10, Swift Current 7. Once again, Weyburn 11, Yorkton is 6. In Regina with sunny skies, it's 10. That's 50 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the northwest at 32, gusting to 50. Humidity 35%, the barometer dropping 101.3. Moose Jaw is sunny and 10, winds from the northwest at 28, gusting to 41. Once again, Regina sunny and 10, that's 50 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers. McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Alberta Premier Jason Kenney is defending his handling of the COVID-19 outbreak at Alberta packing plants last year. NDP leader Rachel Notley is demanding a public inquiry into the outbreaks at Cargill and JBS packing plants last year.
Blaming the workers for the health and safety hazards they faced because they went to work each and every day to provide important frontline services for all Albertans, and then turning around and blaming workers for that, that is classic rejection of your obligation to keep working people safe. It's the kind of game playing you saw from employers 100 years ago.
Hundreds of workers got sick and at least 3 died. The Cargill plant was shut down for 2 weeks. Premier Kenney says local health officials worked closely with both plants during the outbreaks and his office was briefed on a regular basis.
All I can tell you is, in my position, I received briefings from the public health branch of the Department of Health about the situation with those meatpacking plant outbreaks, and that was the source of my knowledge and anything that I or the government communicated. So I'm not sure what the basis of that allegation is. All I can tell you is that the government was transparent about what we knew about the situation, based on reports that we got from the ground, coming from the regional medical personnel who were working with the employer and the union, We were transparent about what information we had. You know, I'm glad that those plants have been operating safely now for about 9 months, with being able to give good employment to thousands of Albertans, and I think they've had a small number of cases since then, but I think it's a great credit to the workers, the unions, the employers, in working in collaboration with the health officials, that they've managed to do so, to learn from those lessons in the spring.
That's Alberta Premier Jason Kenney. There was an outbreak of COVID recently at the Olymel pork plant in Red Deer. At least 500 employees got sick and 4 died.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And by Canadian AgriBlend. Ask for the livestock products at your feed dealer, or for a feed dealer near you, call 1-800-340-2311. The Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture is encouraging a better understanding of biodiversity in farming. Range Management Extension Specialist in Prince Albert, Andre Bonneau, uses a forest as an example for healthy grazing.
The biodiversity. We hear the word a lot, but do we know what biodiversity means? Biodiversity is about having multiple species existing under the same growing conditions. It also means stability. As biodiversity increases, so does the stability of the plant community. All plants grow in a specific range of conditions, or what's called a niche. As an extreme example, palm trees grow in a niche with warm conditions, while aspen grow in a cooler niche. On our landscape, many of our local plants have niches that overlap. So in a more local example, jack pine, aspen, spruce, and birch trees can all grow near each other, but each have a different niche. If growing conditions change, some of the tree species will benefit from those changes, while others will suffer. But in the end, the forest will survive. The more tree species in the forest, the more stable and resilient the forest is to environmental change. This concept holds true for all of Saskatchewan's natural landscapes. Different plant species in a community will have different niches, and these niches will overlap. As growing conditions may change over the years, like flooding or drought, some species will suffer and others will benefit. What matters, though, is the plant community will survive. As a range management specialist, part of my job is to measure biodiversity on native rangelands. We survey land used for livestock grazing, determine the health of these communities, and make recommendations on how to maintain or improve biodiversity. This way, when growing conditions change from year to year, the range communities will remain healthy and support livestock grazing. I'm Andre Bonneau, range management specialist based in Prince Albert.
Coming up, market update.
The market updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market update brought to you by Scott Bjornson of Hall as Wealth. For more information or to book a free consultation, call 1-800-284-9999. And Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Grain prices were showing upward movement in early trading. Canola gained $4 at $6.80.37. Number one red spring wheat went up $1.19 at $2.67.05. The rest unchanged. Durham $3.14.16. Feed barley $2.67.68. Flax $730.47 per metric ton. Lentils $6.44.50. Oats $2.36.53. Yellow peas $3.83.70. Feed wheat $2.38.84. The Minneapolis spring wheat May futures are up 5.25 cents at $6.04.75 a bushel. The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. And now the latest quotes.
Heartland Livestock Market Report. Donnie Peacock reporting from the Swift Current Yards. Very interesting week in the cattle industry. Monday we had a complete whiteout blizzard and a Simmental bull sale in the stockyards in Swift Current. On the internet and phones, it kicked in pretty good. They averaged 6,900 on their 50-some bulls, and the high was 33,000. Tuesday was almost a nil happening, smallest run that I can remember. with the blizzard conditions. We had 16 head of cattle. Tough to call the cow market, but it looks all of steady. Thursday, 2,000 head of cattle. This market's very, very active, and actually with the future board coming up through most of the week, and is starting out this week, we're going to get even better, in my opinion. 1,015 weight steers, 160. Here's a straight load of 920 Red Cross steers, fancy cattle from the Poiriers down at Whitfur Mountain, 920s, 175. 860 weight steers, 181, 182, 8 1/4 at 82.75. 750 weight black sword steers, 195.75. The 760 weight Lansdale fancy black steers from Coppell bring $2.75. That's the same money as the good tans brought. 670 weight black steers, 214.50. Right at 6, we had them from 216 on up. We had a real slugfest war on the crop cattle from Scepter, 6 1/4. They bring 241.75. 550 weights, 240. Into the heifer trade, the 8 weights, 160 to 165. We had some 850 weight tan heifers at 166. 770 weight tan heifers at 173.75. Into the right at 7, the heifers are bringing 182 for the good reds. The black heifers kind of 79 to 82. Into the 650 weights, 194.75 for the blacks. The 580s, 190.75. And the 450s, 208. Good breeding quality heifers, regardless of breed or color, just on the quality, bring $1,300 up to $1,500. That's the way it is in cattle country. Heartland, Swift Current.
And now the latest Saskatchewan pork prices.
Ham sold 5,400 hogs Thursday, selling in a range of 217 to 233 per CKG. Today's sales are expected to be around 6,400 head, selling in a range of 218 to 232 per CKG. 100 index hog prices for the week ending Saturday, April 3rd are Ole West 2020 contract, 217.30, Ole West 2021 contract, 227.40, Maple Leaf Sig 4, 216.21, Hams Cash, 214.21, Thunder Creek Bricko, 206.33, High Life Cash, 230.57, and High Life Contract, $231.40 per CKG. Hams Cash Hog price today is up, and forward contract prices open mixed this morning. On Thursday, the Canadian dollar is up 6 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.2565. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 79.89 cents U.S.
Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report. Sasstel announced today it will invest $323 million this coming year and over $1.4 billion over the next 5 years. Sasstel Minister Don Morgan says improved broadband and expanded network coverage is critical for the success of Saskatchewan families and businesses. The investment includes $86 million for expansion of fiber optic connections to homes and businesses across the province. The breakdown includes $44 million to the 9 major centers in Saskatchewan, $18 million for outside the 9 centers, and Phase 1 of the Rural Fiber Initiative, and $24 million for fiber to the business initiatives. In the coming year, the fiber optic program is forecast to connect 17,000 homes and 1,700 businesses. Boosting our immune systems is one of the goals of a research project that's seeing carbon dioxide gas being studied under the University of Saskatchewan's Canadian Light Source. Researcher Dr. Dustin King with Simon Fraser University says their findings could uncover more about CO2 sensing in nature, an area that he suggests could lead to countless applications for human health and well-being. He says they're studying CO2's ability to bind to and alter the function of certain target proteins. He gives the example that in humans, CO2 impacts certain cellular signaling pathways that slow inflammation. Understanding how it does that, King says, could reveal new therapeutic approaches for things like treating inflammatory disorders. King explained so far utilizing the Canadian Light Source, they've developed methods to trap CO2 onto target proteins and are using these to explore high-interest CO2 binding sites for the first time. Another benefit from the research, King says, is in plants where CO2 is the main carbon fuel source used to generate sugar molecules and sustain growth. Finding out how CO2 does this might also enable scientists to intervene and boost crop yields and output for agriculture. On the markets, T
TSX up 62 points, 19,052. The Dow gained 383 points at 33,536. Oil is down 3.29 a barrel at 58.16 a barrel. The Canadian dollar is up 32 one-hundredths of a cent at 79.80 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620CKRM.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.